Welcome, Order of Friendship. I hope you've had an absolutely fantastic week. If not, our hope is to start you off with a new one this week. And we are in week three of our series entitled The Way of Wisdom. We're talking about specifically from the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is a book in the Old Testament. It's written by a guy named Solomon. Solomon was the son of David, who was the greatest king in Israel. And when Solomon was about ready to become the king of Israel, the Bible tells us that God came to him in a dream and says, Solomon, I will give you whatever you ask for. And Solomon said, you know what? My request, my desire is that I would have wisdom. Because if I can have wisdom, then I will make a great leader. I will make a great ruler. And so God said to him, listen, because you asked for something that wasn't based on selfishness, because you asked for something that wasn't based upon what you wanted, rather it was something based upon others, then I will not only give you wisdom, I will give you wisdom and wealth and power and fame and notoriety. I will give you all of those things that the average person would have asked for because you asked for something that was unselfish. And now looking back to the pages of history, we look at Solomon and we realize that Solomon was the wisest man, the richest man, and more than likely the most powerful man that ever lived because God blessed him with all of these things. And so Solomon, being a wise man, decided that it would be good to write down the wisdom and the principles that he would teach the people that would come and talk to him and how he made those decisions. And so he wrote the book of Proverbs. Specifically, he wrote the book of Proverbs to his son. The book of Proverbs starts with this: my son, listen to my advice or my counsel. And so it's something very, very personal to Solomon as he writes this book for us to understand how to make good and wise decisions as we go through life. Now, Solomon specifically, as he wrote this book, he wrote it to his son, but he wrote it specifically about four different characters. He wrote it about a person who was wise, a person who was simple, a person who was a fool, and a person who was a mocker, and how each of those four people go about making decisions. The first week, we talked about a person who was wise, and a wise person does things a certain way. Last week, we talked about the simple. It's a person that doesn't really know enough to make a best good decision. Today, we'll talk about the fool and understanding that they just don't want to get the understanding that it's readily available for them. And then next week, we're going to talk about the mocker and how the mocker is really someone that God has almost said it's unredeemable. This person will not change their ways. They continue to live this way. And so we'll talk about that next week. Now, as we've talked about these three different characters, I said the important thing for us to understand, the important thing for us to kind of get on the same base with, is that we have to have an understanding of what wisdom really is. If I were to ask and say, hey, give me your definition of wisdom, we'd probably have 20, 30 different definitions of what wisdom is. So it's important to have the same starting point. We often think of wisdom as something that we can get and gain, and then therefore we have it for the rest of our life. Like a car. We buy a car, we have that car, you know, for as long as until we sell the car. But wisdom is actually something very, very different. Wisdom is something that is shown or neglected based upon every decision that we've made. You've made a lot of decisions already this morning. You know, you woke up, you decided to turn the alarm off, you decided to get up, you decided to take a shower, you decided to do all those things. And each of those decision points in your life was an opportunity either to show and display or act in wisdom, or to show and display and act in simpleness, foolishness, or as a scorner or a mocker. And so as we understand those things, we came up with this definition, and hopefully you'll be able to understand how we're talking about. But wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge and experience when making decisions in life. Wisdom is all about saying, okay, here is what I know to be true. You ask the questions that need to be asked. You dig into the information to get as much information as possible. And then you go, okay, based upon my experiences, based upon what's happened in the past and what I've learned from that, I'm going to take the knowledge that I've discovered, I'm going to take the experience that I have, and I'm going to apply it to the decision that's in front of me, and that's what you call making a wise decision. So we talked about the first week that the wise person receives instruction and learns from experience. Those two parts, instruction or understanding experience. The wise person receives it, wants to hear it, wants to learn, and then they learn from their experience. The simple, last week we talked about was how this is how they make decisions. The simple person doesn't know, and they haven't learned from experience. That's the type of person that doesn't know what they don't know. And because they don't know what they don't know, they continue to make decisions, and oftentimes they turn out to be foolish decisions because they don't know what they don't know. And often when we refer to this, this is referred to as younger people who haven't had the experience or haven't had the time to do that. But today, we're going to talk about the fool. Now, depending upon what translation you're looking at, it's going to be fool or foolish or foolhardy or something like that is going to be how it talks about. But the fool is very different from the simple person. They've moved on past just not knowing what they don't know. Now they've kind of moved, and what they're doing is active. The decisions that they're making are active in a particular process. So here's the fool. The fool rejects knowledge. The fool rejects knowledge and won't learn from experience. The fool rejects knowledge and won't learn from experience. The fool says, listen, I don't need any more information. I know everything that I need to know to be able to make this decision. They don't ask the questions that need to be asked. They don't dig past it. They don't say, okay, but I need more information so that I can make a wise decision. Oftentimes, this person will make a decision not based on understanding, but on emotion. They'll make the decision based on instinct or intuition or how their gut feels, even though there's information readily available to make that decision. They go, no, I'm going to reject it. It doesn't matter to me. They also do this. They say, you know, I know that this has happened to me before. I understand this experience. I remember going through that, but it'll be different this time. It won't be the same. It just, you know, it's not a big deal. I know that the last time that I stuck my tongue to the electrical socket, it hurt, but I'm sure this time it'll be much safer. I'm going to ground myself and it'll be all right. Because they just simply refuse to learn from the experiences that they've had and they refuse to apply it. So a foolish person rejects knowledge and says, I don't need any more information. I can make this decision on my own. And then they won't learn from the experiences that they've had. And so what do? They continue to make bad and foolish decisions one right after another. Now, I think it's very, very important because just as wisdom is not a one-time thing that you gain, it's something that you either show or neglect on every decision that you make. The same is true of foolishness. Some of you have probably made some very wise decisions in your life, but I think if we were all honest, we would all say that there have been some really, really foolish, maybe even really, really stupid decisions that we've made. And we can look back in our life and we can say, that was really dumb. I shouldn't have done that. What was I thinking? That was foolish. And what happens is that the devil loves to take those foolish decisions and turn it into a club and beat the snot out of you every single day as you regret those decisions over and over and over and over and over again. But the Bible tells us this, that if you are willing to no longer make those decisions, if you are willing to reject foolishness and get understanding and begin to apply experience to your life, that you can get off of that path, that you don't have to continue to be captive by your past, and you can begin to move forward. So my hope today is to challenge you, if you are looking or staring or in the process of making some foolish decisions, that you will stop, that you'll take a deep breath, that you'll realize where you are and begin to search for the information, the knowledge that you need, and the experience that you lack to make a wise decision. Now, the fool is not like the simple. The simple person doesn't know what they don't know, and they're not really intentionally doing what they're doing, and their desires are not necessarily fully formed. But the fool knows what they're doing. Their heart isn't vulnerable and open for attack. Their heart is committed. Their heart has desired and geared towards this foolish behavior. The fool, unlike the simple person, is not lacking in experience. Instead, he either ignores his experience or he uses his experience to be able to scheme how to do and make foolish decisions. The problem is that the planning of a fool falls way short because the fool tends to think that the decisions that he or she is making is like a way of life. But the Bible says that there's only one way of life, and that's the path or the way of wisdom. The way of wisdom leads to life and blessing and abundance things from God, but the way of foolishness leads only to death and destruction. And it doesn't matter how much you jump up and down, it doesn't matter how much you scream, the fool is not going to listen to you because they believe that what they're doing is right. They believe that the path that they're on is correct. So what my hope is today is I want to go through what a fool looks like. Well, I want to go through sometimes how fools make decisions. And if as we're going through this, you go, oh my goodness, that's me. That's what I'm doing. That's how I'm responding. That's how I'm making decisions. My challenge to you is to break free from that, really, I guess habit would be the best way to say it. Because you've gotten yourself in the habit of reacting and acting and making decisions based upon something that's false, that's a lie, that's not going to keep you moving forward. But here is what you need not to do. I know some of you, many of you are here with your spouse and you're sitting there and you're looking down the list and you're beginning to try to fill in the blanks ahead of time. Some of you love to do that. And so that's why I throw in a weird one every once in a while, so you're wrong. But as you're going through that and you're thinking ahead, and there's going to be a temptation for some of you as you're sitting next to your loved one or your significant other, and I say something and immediately you go, oh, that is them. And your mind is going to want to do this. I'm going to circle this. I'm going to draw an arrow. And I'm going to go. Here's the problem. About two down from that, they're going to be able to circle and draw an arrow and go. Because we've all done it. We've all made foolish decisions. The key today is not to start blaming or pointing fingers. The key today is to look inside yourself and to ask the question. Am I playing the fool? Am I acting like a fool in how I'm making the decisions that I'm currently in today? So here's the first thing. I'm acting a fool when I make the same mistakes over and over. I'm acting the fool when I make the same mistakes over and over. Now, there are certain things that if a person makes the same mistake in over and over and over and over and over again, or even more than once, the people that love that person, the people that are around that person are going to be like, dude, stop. Quit being stupid. Sometimes, you know, I don't know, when I was a kid, I learned how to whittle. I know, like, knives aren't given to boys anymore and all that stuff, but when I was a boy, I learned how to whittle. And one of the things that my grandfather taught me was that you whittle. Quick quiz, towards yourself or away from yourself? Away, right? You whittle away from yourself because otherwise, some people go, well, why? All it takes is one time to slip and man, you've got a scar on your thumb for the rest of your life like that one right there. And you know what? You do it one time, you're probably not going to do it again. If, however, you sit on a porch all the time and you whittle and you continue to whittle towards yourself and you continue to do that scar over and over and over again, eventually the people that love you are going to say, stop being an idiot. You're going to cut your thumb off if you don't cut it out. And it's acceptable. And it's willing. We're willing to say those things. We're willing to jump out and do those things. But yet there are particular areas in life where we are uncomfortable calling people's over and over mistakes out. One of them is in relationships. You probably know people that constantly choose the wrong people to hang out with. The wrong guy. You know the girl that constantly picks the loser? And you say, hey, you know what? I don't think he's really good for you. And she's like, yeah, I know. But there's this other guy. And he looks just like him and acts just like him. But hey, I think he's way better. No, he's a loser. But you don't say anything because you don't want to hurt her feelings. Or maybe it's the other way around. Maybe it's the guy. And the guy constantly dates the girl that will continually cheat on him. But it's like, hey, she's hot. You know what? That's not, looks fade. Let's just be honest, okay? Looks fade, things wrinkle, it just changes. So here's the thing. Find somebody that you can actually like and you want to stay married to because their personality really is something that you enjoy spending time with. Or maybe you've met that person that's been married four times. You're like, dude, maybe think about it next time. Or maybe don't get married, you know, because it's you. There's a common denominator here, and it's you, okay? And so, but those are things that we struggle with because they're not acceptable. They're not things that we deal with. But boy, there's other things that we're just willing to call somebody out on. But here's the thing. If you continue to make the same mistakes over and over, you're playing the part of a fool. Now, there are certain passages in the Bible that I just absolutely love, and there are about a half a dozen in the book of Proverbs that I just I gravitate towards, I absolutely love, and I've put to memory, and this is one of the passages, because it's so descriptive. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 11, it says this, "As a dog returns to its vomit," yes, it says that in the Bible, "as a dog returns to his vomit, so a fool repeats his foolishness." How many of you have dogs? Okay, cool, awesome, awesome. Lots of people, y'all, good, wise, smart people. You have dogs, man's best friend. And but how many of you have seen your dog do something like this? It's sitting, you're probably watching TV, and all of a sudden it starts going, huh, 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 and the entire family goes, "Grab the dog! Take it outside. Get it outside as quickly as you can." And you pick up your dog and you're trying to run to the door. And sometimes you make it and sometimes you don't. And sometimes if you leave the dog outside, the dog does the, you know, the dance of whatever and it throws up. And then the dog does this. "Well, that looks tasty." Now, I know it caused me to throw up before, but I think now it's good. And the dog eats it. And you look at the dog, and not only does the dog eat it, but it's like when it's done, it's going, that was fantastic. You're like, what is wrong with you? I mean, what is the matter with you? And I'm sure most of all of you that have dogs, you've seen this, you've experienced this, and you're like, oh my gosh, and I let that thing lick my face. What is wrong with this dog? Because as a dog returns to his vomit, so a fool repeats its folly. It's like the dog goes, well, it upset my stomach before, but hey, maybe next time it won't. The fool does the same thing. But we've experienced something new in our house that, man, has added just a whole bunch of depth to this verse for us. We now have three dogs in our house. We used to have, my wife had this little dog, Daisy. It's a Bichon Frise. It's a little white puffball. And then my oldest daughter and I got dogs in December, and they're both beagles, and Max and Rory are their names. And so now we'll often have three dogs in our house. If Caitlin's doing something, we'll watch them. And I've watched this amazing thing that begins to take place. Not just when one dog begins to do the thing, does that dog get excited about what's going to happen. But it doesn't matter what the other two dogs are doing. They can be sound asleep. They hear the first, and they are up, and they are excited, and they are awaiting what is going to come. You see, here's the thing. When you're a fool, you tend to get yourself surrounded with fools. And those fools will encourage you in the foolishness and the repetitive decisions that you make. And they'd be like, "That's awesome! Let us in." The Bible says that if you continue to make the same mistakes over and over, you're playing the part of a fool. And if you don't break free from it, you're going to end up finding yourself one day sitting in the seat of the mocker and the scorner. If I make the same mistakes over and over, I'm acting the fool. If I scheme to do wrong, I'm acting the fool. If I scheme to do wrong, this tends to be something that we do when it comes to those in authority over us. Sometimes it shows up when we are trying to file our taxes, or we're telling our boss how many hours we worked, and we tend to pad that a little bit. Or we do things like this because we tend to think that if we plan better next time, then we won't get caught. And we scheme to do wrong. You see, the simple person doesn't necessarily fully understand the difference between right and wrong, but the fool fully understands what's right and what's wrong, but still gravitates towards doing that which is wrong and begins to create scenarios and plans so that they can get to doing wrong faster, quicker, and try to cover their tracks even better. And so when they do that, they are literally playing the role of a fool. Solomon puts it this way, Proverbs 10:23, "A fool finds pleasure in wicked schemes, but a person of understanding delights and wisdom. If you're intentionally thinking through and processing through how to do that which you know is wrong, then you are playing and acting the fool. If you are making the same mistakes over and over, you are acting the fool. If, number three, you reject counsel that you don't like, you reject counsel that you don't like, you're playing the fool. I can't even begin to count how many times I've had someone, or Tracy's had someone, come up to them and say, "Hey, when we just need some counsel. We just need some wisdom. Can you help us with this?" Like, sure, you know, what's going on? They begin to lay out everything that's happened, and we say, "Okay, well, based upon our experience, based upon what the Bible says is right and wrong, based upon what the Bible says about handle this situation, this is what we would highly encourage you. This is what we would counsel you to do." Like, okay, thanks. And then they go out and do whatever they want. And then they go out and post on Facebook a few hours later, "Hey, I'm making this decision. I'm curious what you all think." And then you see the list of all the idiots, right? Right? Seriously. Telling them what they think that they should do. And then as they get lower on the list, they finally find someone that tells them that it's okay to do what it is that they want to do, and they respond, "Thanks, you are so wise." No, you just agree with them. So therefore, they want to accept your counsel, but reject the counsel of those who aren't living in that world. I always have chuckled, you know, when people gravitate towards people who don't have good relationships to get relationship counsel. People who are in debt, who are giving out financial counseling. People who can't hold a job telling people how to start their own. You know, the reality is that a fool looks for someone to agree with them, and they reject anyone who will disagree with them because it makes them uncomfortable. It makes them think that they're wrong, which more than likely they are. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 9. "Don't waste your breath on fools, for they will despise the wisest advice." Proverbs 18, 2. "Fools have no interest in understanding. They only want to air their own opinions." You ever met someone who wants to tell you what they think about everything? Listen, they can solve all your problems in 30 seconds. And you're like, "Well, how about you use some of that on your life? Because it's falling apart." How about you begin to focus and listen and heed wise counsel so that you can begin to move in the right direction in your life instead of constantly feeling like you should be the person that shares all your wealth of knowledge. But yet I find it amazing that most often the person who is most foolish is the one who is more than ready to share advice with anyone who will listen because they love to air their own opinions about everything. You're playing the fool if you reject counsel that you don't like. I'm playing the fool if I scheme to do wrong. I'm playing the fool if I make the same mistake over and over again. I'm playing the fool if I brim with overconfidence. I'm playing the fool if I brim with overconfidence. You can do anything. You are the best at everything. You are awesome and great and unbelievably talented. I always chuckle when I watch, you know, American Idol and some of those other ones, so the people that are on there that think that they are the greatest thing in the world. And you're like, wow, nobody has told them at this point in time that they are terrible. And now they are on national TV, and everyone knows that they are terrible, except them, because they're the greatest in the world, and they're awesome at it. A fool's mantra is this: watch this. Now, if you have someone in your life that loves to do that, and they look at you, and they say, "Hey, watch this, pull out your phone and start recording, because you may win $10,000. Because they believe they can do anything. They're the best at everything. They know everything. They don't worry about it. They don't need instruction. They don't need that. Listen, I got it covered. I got it figured out. It's all good. It's all great. I am the greatest. A fool brims with overconfidence. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 16 says, a wise person is cautious and turns from evil, but a fool throws off restraint and is overconfident. Other translations say, a fool rejects caution and is arrogant. You walk around thinking that you know it all, thinking that you've got it all figured out, the reality is you're probably playing the fool. If I make the same mistakes over and over, if I scheme to do wrong, if I reject counsel I don't like, if I brim with overconfidence, I'm acting the fool. If I lose my cool, I'm acting the fool. Some of you are like, man, I was so great right to then, right to right there. Man, if we lose our cool, we are acting the fool. Now, it doesn't say if we get angry or we get upset. The Bible makes it very clear that there is a point in the time to be angry, there's a point in the time to be upset. But here is the difference between being angry and upset and losing your cool. You've lost control of your actions. You've lost control of your words. You've lost control of how you're behaving and what your attitude is. You've lost control. You lose your cool. The Bible puts it this way, Proverbs 14, 17 and 29 says this, a short-tempered person does foolish things and schemers are hated. People with understanding control their anger. A hot temper shows great foolishness. It's easy to lose control, is it not? It's easy. It doesn't take hard work at all. You just kind of let it go. Let it flow. Let things go the course that they want to go. It is difficult and hard to rein that in and say, no, I am not going to act the fool and lose control. The Bible actually says this, that if you are controlled by the Spirit, if you are full of the Spirit, Galatians, in the book of Galatians, it says that you will discover the fruit of self-control. Therefore, if you are controlled by your temper or your anger or your outburst, then you are no longer being controlled by the Spirit. You are being controlled by an emotion that will tear you up from the inside out. It will not only hurt you, it will hurt those around you. If you lose your cool, if you lose control, you are on the path of making bad and dumb decisions. I'm sure if I asked you, man, how many of you would say that in the midst of an argument or in the midst of being difficult or angry with someone, you said something that you didn't mean? And in fact, before the words were finished out of your mouth, you're like, oh man, I need that back, because that's not going to end well. And you know that. Yet you lose your cool. If you continue to lose your cool, if you continue to lose your temper, you're acting in a foolish way. In fact, Proverbs says it shows great foolishness. Finally, I'm acting the fool when I make the same mistakes over and over again, when I scheme to do wrong, when I reject counsel that I don't like, when I brim with overconfidence, when I lose my cool, when I don't feel bad about the harm I've caused. When I don't feel bad about the harm I've caused. You see, the way of a fool leads to death and destruction, but here's the scary part. It doesn't just affect you. It affects those around you. In fact, if you're the leader of your home and you are acting the fool, you are literally inviting death and destruction to be a part of every member of your family. You are literally putting all those that you say you love in danger because you're acting the fool. Oftentimes, a fool, when confronted with what he or she has done wrong, the response is this. Well, you need to get over it. You need to stop being so thin-skinned. You need to grow up. You ever experienced that? Because a fool doesn't want anyone to show him or her that he's caused pain or she's caused pain. She would much rather just go on with life. He would much rather just go on with life pretending that everything is okay than to be confronted with the pain that they've caused. You can often see a fool coming if you will look at the destruction in the relationships behind them. The Bible says this, Psalm 14, 9, fools make fun of guilt, but the godly acknowledge it and seek reconciliation. Do you have people in your life that you can look over their past and you literally see a wake of destruction that they've caused? The things that they've done, the relationships that they've shattered. You probably have people in your life like that. I know we've had people at Friendship that are like that. It was amazing. You know, we'd hear something was going on. We'd begin to investigate to try to find out what's going on. It was always the same people over and over and over and over and over again because they were fools. They left a wake of destruction in their path. Now, here's the thing that's really, really dangerous is that if you are friends with a fool, you're like the dogs who are running to the vomit because you're keeping yourself in their sphere of influence. You are putting yourself in the path of death and destruction as well. And the really scary part is that if you continue or you begin to have this reality and you don't care about the pain that you're causing, you are less than a step away from discovering and finding yourself in the seat of the scorner or the mocker. And God has literally said that outside of significant divine interaction, a mocker, who we'll talk about next week, is unredeemable because they are convinced that they are right and no one can tell them anything different. And that is a very scary place to be because what's up is down, what's right is left, and what's wrong seems to be right. And you can't figure out why you can't get your life straightened away. So my challenge to you today is to begin to think through the decisions that you're currently making, the decisions that you have yet to make, and ask yourself, am I making foolish decisions? Am I acting the fool in how I'm making these decisions, or am I moving towards being wise? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the truth of wisdom. And God, we recognize that wisdom is sometimes very, very hard for us to discover, for us to grasp. And God, I know that there are some people here today who are thinking about past foolish decisions, and God, they're filled with regret. They've allowed that to maintain and stay in the midst of their consciousness. God, I pray that in this moment, they would run to your grace. They would realize your grace is enough. That God, you've given them the ability to move on, that they don't have to be captivated by the past and the foolish decisions of their past, that they can move forward as they move towards the path, the way of wisdom. Father, for those here today who are maybe in the midst of some foolish decisions, or they recognize that, man, they've made some foolish decision after foolish decision after foolish decision, and they want to break that habit, they want to break that pattern. God, I pray in the quietness of this moment, in their hearts and in their minds, they would pray something like this to you. Dear God, I know I've been acting the fool. I want to ask forgiveness for the stupid, arrogant, selfish decisions that I've been making. God, please open my eyes. Help me get understanding. Help me learn experience so that I can make wise decisions. God, please forgive me. Fill me with your grace and your understanding so that I can be back on the way of wisdom. Father, I thank you for this. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.